It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scoobity boo boo. Scoobity doo.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Good morning, Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin, usually with your friend Kristen Bry. If you're listening, you know I'm not Kristen. This is Joe Zepecki sitting in while Kristen tries to make it back from some travel. We hope that she will be back tomorrow. I hope that you all will be back tomorrow. And I hope you'll ride with us today on a blustery, almost wintry-like Monday morning. It's not how you want to start the week. But Jane, how are you feeling this morning?
I am not feeling too bad, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today. Like you said, while Kristen is off, if you think this is bad, parts of Western Wisconsin got 22 inches of snow.
Oh, no, thank you.
So,
no, thank you.
We can do a couple more days. Hang in there, folks. We're heading in the right direction.
That's right.
We're not supposed to be at 80 degrees in the middle of April anyway. I hate to be the one to point that out.
Yeah, summer started early and then it ended abruptly.
Yes.
And then it was spring and now it's winter again. I don't know where that falls. Have you seen the layout of like fall spring 1, winter 3, fall spring 2? I don't know where we are on that timeline, but you are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We are coming to you across the Civic Media Network and locally out of Waukesha on 540 AM The Shot, WAUK. Let me give you a quick rundown of what we're going to spend our time on today.
All right.
Like we said, hope you'll stay with us. We're going to start with the weekend that was. Talk a little Bucks playoff run, which maybe not the best start we wanted, but we'll get into it. We're also going to talk about some news from the last few days around the state and country. Gun violence, again, emerging front of mind, basically in all corners of the country. Some news on the legal front, some high-profile cases involving national security, involving Fox. We're not going to use the second part of their title that
is questionable.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. And then we're going to, in the second hour, talk about Medicaid. It is Wisconsin state budget time, and this has become a biennial conversation. But we're going to bring in some, I think, really interesting guests to talk about this. We're going to have Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who I believe this will be her first time on the show.
It will be. I'm very excited.
She is about, 3.5 months on the job. For those not familiar with Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, she is a practicing nurse, or was before she became Lieutenant Governor. I don't know whether she's still able to practice given her new duties. But she obviously has a perspective from her working life on the importance of expanding Medicaid. And then we're going to have somebody I'm also really excited about, which is a state representative, a state lawmaker from the great state of North Carolina. North Carolina was recently the 40th state to accept the federal expansion of Medicaid. We're going to talk to her about how they got that done. Maybe there's hope for Wisconsin after all this time to actually get some progress on Medicaid. So State Representative Sarah Crawford from North Carolina will be joining us. I consume a lot of news. I'm not sure I've seen anywhere else in the great state of Wisconsin and all of our fine media institutions anybody talking to a North Carolinian about how this got done. So tell your friends, check it out. You can hear it from State Representative Sarah Crawford in the noon hour. And then in the third hour, we'll lighten things up a little bit. I've got a tale from the road. I spent some time in Iowa this weekend, and all of the Quick Trip stands out there might want to pay attention in that third hour for a curious tale of awakenment, enlightenment, and the filling stations, gas stations of the upper Midwest. And And we're going to look at Kevin McCarthy's report card. Today, I believe it's today, is the 100th day of the new Congress. That means, I don't know, 98 days, 97 days since Kevin McCarthy became Speaker. Remember that? Seems like years ago when he couldn't get the votes until the 17th or 18th try.
Round, yes.
And but the report card is in. The people are speaking, and I think you might be interested in how he's doing. And, of course, we have to remind you, we will try to remind you throughout the hour, tomorrow's a big day. Your taxes are due, people. Pay your taxes.
You better get it done.
File your taxes, or at minimum, file for that extension, because tomorrow, April 18th, is tax day this year. So we'll remind you throughout the show. You're listening to Joe Zepecki on As Goes Wisconsin, sitting in for Kristen Bry. Let's start with last night. Now, I watched a lot of basketball this weekend.
Yes, you did, both in person and on television.
Yes,
right?
You might say too much basketball. seven AAU basketball games. Got back from lovely Bettendorf, Iowa, Quad Cities area. We were actually staying across the river in East Moline. And after seven, you know, AAU basketball games, got home just in time to watch the Bucks game tip off. Now, we're Bucks fans here. We loved what that title run did for the greater Milwaukee area, for the state of Wisconsin, enshrining Giannis as kind of one of the greats. This is a fun group, a fun team, and this year managed to get the best record in the NBA. So they're the number one seed in the East, starting the playoff run at home in front of the fans against the Milwaukee Heat. And after playing just 11 minutes in the second quarter, Giannis goes down after a hard fall on his back, reaches for his back, and tries to come back in the game, can't get it done, goes to the locker room, and he's out for the rest of the game.
Oh, gosh.
So without their star, without their leader, the rest of the Bucks are now trying to figure out, okay, game one. And for those who weren't watching, like I was, it didn't go well. The Bucks dropped game one to the Miami Heat. The Giannis injury was not the only injury of note in the game. Tyler Hero, Heat guard, who is a product of Whitnall High School.
Oh, wow.
Where I attended and still do some coaching. And those watching on the live stream can see I've got my Whitnall hoodie on today. Tyler Hero broke his shooting hand and is out 4 to 6 weeks. So it's like diving for a loose ball. And I think I have this right. After the injury, he, with a broken hand, caught a pass and made a three-pointer, but you could tell that there was something wrong.
Oh.
So he goes to the locker room and is out 4 to 6 weeks. That could be the whole playoff run. I mean, even if the Heat knock off the Bucks, I don't think it's going to happen, and make a deep run, he might not be back at all. So not a good night on the injury front. And there were big injury problems in other NBA playoff games. Ja Morant went down. Just not a good night for health in the NBA, which is too bad on day one or day two, perhaps, of the NBA playoffs. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to try to provide a little optimism and hope for Bucks fans who are feeling a little down today about how last night's game went. I looked inside the numbers, and it turns out that last night, in their 84th game of the year, so a full 82-game schedule, a play-in game for the Heat, playing game number 84 against our Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat had their best shooting night of the entire season. They were absolutely lights out. They were shooting 60% from the floor, 60% from three, and that's, you know, that's impressive. Hats off, right? Sometimes you just got to tip your cap and say, okay.
Give them the props.
Give them the props. And on the other hand, the Bucks, in their 83rd game of the year, had their worst shooting night of the year. Now, that's the thing with basketball. There's going to be nights when the basket looks like it's the size of the ocean, and some nights where it looks like, you know, a keyhole. And we just happen to have, for the Heat, it looked like the ocean. for the Bucks. It looked like a keyhole. We couldn't make anything. And despite all that, the Bucks were actually in the game. Usually, you know, if somebody were to tell me that in an NBA game, one team is going to have their best shooting night of the year and the other team is going to have their worst shooting night of the year, what do you think happened? I would say, I'll bet the team that had its best shooting night won by 20 to 30 points. That's not what happened. The Bucks were in this game. It was a three-possession game until about 2 or 3 minutes left. And every, you know, the Bucks kept closing. They would make a little run, get it to 2-3 points, and then the Heat would answer. So I think that there is lots of reason to be optimistic. We don't know a ton about the injury to Giannis other than that. The x-rays were negative. He didn't break anything during that fall.
Well, that's good.
That's a good start. So we, you know, can be cautiously optimistic that he will be back for Wednesday night, game two, also in Milwaukee. The Heat will be without Tyler Hero, one of their shooters. And, you know, I guess my final note of optimism for all you As Goes Wisconsin fans, for all you Bucks fans, for all you folks who don't even care about basketball, but just like it when the sports fans in your life are happy. And I know there's some of you out there. We all remember, what was the mantra when the Bucks were on their title run, Jane? What was it? What was everybody saying to each other?
Bucks in six.
Bucks in six, baby. Well, here's the thing, folks. The Bucks can't win in six if they never lose a game. So maybe it'll be Bucks in five, but how fitting would it be as we start another, hopefully, title run as the team entering the playoffs with the best record in the league? Bucks in six, baby. I'm still feeling good. I hope you are too. We've got a fun show for you today. I hope my voice clears up a little bit. I'm going to be talking more than I'm used to here on As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki in for Kristen Bry. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You can text. You can talk. Come on back after this first break to As Goes Wisconsin. We're going to talk about some of the legal news from around the country that emerged over the weekend. Maybe it'll make you happy. Maybe it'll make you sad. You're going to have to come back after the break to find out. Like the superstar in the NBA, the forwards, the centers, and all the guards, the ones you see on the bubblegum cards. Me and homeboy would go one on one, cause playing the game is a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all, cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball. They're playing
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Joe Zepecki in for your usual host, Kristen Bry. But Jane's here. Jane's on the board. You got Jane. What else do you need?
Jane and Joe for the Monday.
The Jane and Joe show for Monday. We're trying to inject a little life into your ears and into your brains on this snowy, cold, windy. Oh, wasn't it just 80 degrees the other day of a Monday? Man, Mondays are the worst. And then you throw this on. All Joe's rock, says Joe M in the chat. I love it. Joe Biden rocks. We know that. We're going to get to him in a little bit. Now, listen, folks, I've been here before. I've sat in for a couple of days. Kristen has had me on as a guest. So I like to think that the listening audience has gotten to know a few things about me. One of the things I'm not sure we've talked about is the fact that I am not a lawyer, much to my mother's chagrin. My mother is an accomplished lawyer, and it was maybe a real thing. Like, I took the LSAT.
You did.
I thought very seriously about law school, And then it didn't end up happening. I got the political bug. And when I was done with college, I basically had already worked on a couple of political campaigns and wanted to race out to DC and do more political stuff. And then it just kind of never happened. I never got around to it. But my lack of a legal degree does not mean that we can't give you some legal news from around the country. It feels like there's an awful lot of it. And now, for anybody about my age, I'm in my early 40s, legal stuff, it feels like it comes in waves, right? There's like, you get a bunch of education about the legal process, and then you don't hear anything for a while. The OJ trial, when I was in middle school, was like a big thing, and you felt like every single day there was news on the legal front. I feel like we're in one of those cycles now where we just have legal news coming out the wazoo. And if you come to As Goes Wisconsin, if you come to the Civic Media Network, you're going to get your legal news. So here we go. We got three to get to.
All right.
I think the first one's relatively straightforward. You may have seen that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is in a little bit of hot water recently, folks.
The story just keeps getting crazier.
It's not great when a billionaire benefactor who you met after you joined the Supreme Court is giving you hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gifts and you are not disclosing it. It is not great when that billionaire benefactor is funding Clarence Thomas's wife's nonprofit activities, which of course are all political in nature. It came out over the weekend that Justice Thomas was also involved in a real estate transaction with this billionaire benefactor that he did not disclose.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. So listen, more broadly speaking, it is very clear that Supreme Court justices need to have a judicial ethics code enforced, and hopefully that will happen on the public policy front. But in the meantime, Justice Thomas, under fire, is now saying that he will amend his financial disclosure forms. I don't think that's going to do it, Jane. I don't think this story is going anywhere for a while. What say you?
Well, gee, I got caught. Oops. Let me go back and fix the paperwork. No.
That's not how it works?
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works. Man. And I find it remarkably naive of us that we would think that this one body is perfectly capable of policing itself on ethics.
When every other judge in the country is subject to an ethics code.
Exactly. I cannot fathom that we have allowed this. It's 2023, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now we're finally sitting up and going, you know, maybe there should be people watching over these people.
There ought to be some oversight.
Yeah, maybe just a scooch.
Hear, hear. So Justice Thomas, going to fix that form. I think there's more to come. Stay tuned. Case number two. An update yesterday night from the judge in the Fox versus Dominion lawsuit. This is, you've been seeing all of the texts between the Fox hosts about how crazy Trump is and they hate him and how they repeatedly broadcast lies about the 2020 election and smeared Dominion voting systems. Dominion suing Fox for $1.6 billion. Dollars, that's a lot of simoleons. And late yesterday, judge came out and said the trial that was supposed to start this morning,
yeah, today,
has been pushed by a day. Now, I have not seen confirmed, but there is a lot of speculation that the reason for the delay is that the two sides are in settlement talks.
No!
Jane, you don't want them to pay up and just be done with it?
No.
Why not?
I want a trial. I want testimony. I want to see Tucker Carlson sit there and admit that he despises Donald Trump. I want to see Rupert Murdoch on the stand. I have popcorn and party favors, Joe. I've been planning on this.
I don't blame you. We have learned an awful lot about the inner workings of the Fox Corporation in the last couple of months due to the discovery phase of this legal battle. And so if you wanted to pop your popcorn and get some new disclosures today, today's not the day. They pushed the trial. Keep an eye on this. I guess it's possible that they will settle this lawsuit before it goes to trial.
I did not think that money was the object of this lawsuit. And if they do settle, I will be tremendously disappointed that it was just about cash.
Yeah.
I thought it was about ethics.
The principle. The yes. principle of the thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And then finally, Jack Teixeira, young man who was a member of the Air National Guard out of Massachusetts, arrested Friday, is apparently, allegedly, the source of a massive leak of U.S. intelligence secrets. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to offer this. Secrets held by this government are held for a reason. Intelligence gathering is really important in terms of our national security. Throw the book at this guy. You know, he's going to get his fair trial. And there needs to be some reform when it comes to the handling of classified information. We see that all the way from the former president of the United States to a 21-year-old airman. It's not good enough. We got to be better. This has been your legal brief. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zepecki in for Kristen Bry. Come on back with Jane and I. We're going to talk about some more news from over the weekend on the Civic Media Network. Come on back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki in for Kristen Bry on a Monday. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Network, on the radio, in a podcast later, online, streaming, as always. There's lots of ways to hear this fine radio product.
Absolutely.
It's better when Kristen is here. I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
You're doing a great job.
But if you're interested in the sound of this voice, you can also hear me on Thursday mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Up North show. Not the next two Thursdays. I'll be, this Thursday. I guess I'll be back next Thursday.
Okay.
But most Thursdays, you can hear me, Joe Zepecki, on with Pat Kreitlow. Once in a while, you can catch me on the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You make the rounds.
Do we call that the flagship? Is that the
flagship? Yes.
The flagship product. I was actually on last week, and I think Dom was on some travel. It must be the time of year. I'm about to leave. Kristen is out for a few days. Back tomorrow. Dom was gone, and so I was on with Crute on the Devil's Advocates last week, and we heard from Congressman Mark Pocan, who was making the rounds. Doing listening sessions across his district. His district is sort of referred to as Madison, but also includes a lot of those smaller communities and those rural communities that ring Madison
sure.
in Wisconsin's second congressional district. And, you know, we just sort of asked, hey, what's on people's minds? That's why members of Congress do those, is so they can hear what their constituents care about. And a week ago, the answer by Congressman Mark Pocan was guns. Guns are on people's minds. This was in the wake of the attack on a school in Nashville and then a bank in Kentucky. And it's another one of these seasons of carnage and gun violence in America. We all needed a break after losing those 3 9-year-olds, after losing employees and customers at a bank. And we didn't get one, folks, because this last weekend, Friday through Sunday, we once again see these horrific explosions of violence involving firearms in every kind of community, every kind of state around the country. In Alabama, there are 4 dead and 28 injured. That shooting took place at a 16-year-old birthday party.
Yeah.
In Chicago, Illinois, over the weekend, there were 32 people shot. There are 8 confirmed fatalities. This was a series of shootings, but it was described as unrest. The incoming mayor of Chicago was asked to weigh in. In Kentucky, another shooting, 2 dead, 4 injured. In Kansas City, Missouri, a 16-year-old young man is fighting for his life after he mistakenly rang the wrong doorbell. 1 block from where he was going to pick up his younger brother, 16-year-old kid, and for the horrific, heinous act of ringing the doorbell at the wrong house, was shot twice, including in the head, by a homeowner who is now claiming his defense is the stand your ground law because a young black man mistakenly rang the doorbell.
Rang the doorbell.
Standing on the porch. Shot a second time after he had fallen to the ground. No weapon on him, nothing. And if I sound a little pissed off, it's because I am. Because we have got to find a way to end this madness. And that's what it is. It is madness. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Second Amendment. I just don't think it says what a lot of these gun nuts want you to think it says. Okay? There are an awful lot of responsible gun owners in this country. There are a lot of very defensible reasons to have rifles, shotguns, even handguns. But the public policies of this country right now are enabling more of this madness than we ought to be dealing with. Because despite the fact that we make up, what, 4 or 6% of the world's population, we somehow manage to be 45, 46% of mass shootings. What's the difference? Many would say it's our lax firearm safety rules and regulations. And so I want to spend a couple minutes here talking about what we've heard, what we think, trying to turn down my volume, my heat a little bit, because I think there are ways forward that agreeable people can agree on. And I'd like to hear from you. If you want to join the conversation, you can text, you can talk, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin, talking about the rash of gun violence over the last weekend. And it just so happens that this past weekend was also the NRA's national convention. These shootings didn't happen because of that. Not suggesting otherwise. I would say nearly everyone who goes to an NRA convention is probably falls under that category of responsible gun owner. And more of them, I believe, than we hear about, are for reasonable, responsible rules and regulations around the sale, ownership, and handling of firearms in this country. And part of the reason I believe that is because the ones getting the bad name are the gun owners. Not everyone who owns a gun is a nut, but we've got too many nuts owning guns. How is it that someone who is receiving mental health treatment in the case of the Nashville school shooting a couple weeks ago is able to purchase 7 deadly weapons from 5 different locations in just a couple of days? If you think that's okay, look in the mirror. You might be the problem. Because there are things like red flag laws that we can enact, some other common sense reforms that we can do that would make it harder for the people who shouldn't have the guns to get the guns. And so taking a step back, again, trying to breathe. Last year, we saw something we hadn't seen in almost 30 years, which was gun safety legislation passed by the Congress of the United States and signed into law by President Joe Biden. Happened last year. It hadn't happened since 1994. 1994 was the assault weapons ban that expired under a Republican Congress and has not been brought back up. What that gun legislation passed last year did, among other things, was it really went after mental health and, you know, more resources for the states to establish things like red flag laws. For those who don't know what that means that is a adjudicated process by which somebody who is having a hard time, their loved ones, their family members, their friends, their colleagues can use this process to make sure that when that person is going through a tough time, they do not have access to their firearms. Seems pretty straightforward, yep. Right? It's not a forever. It's a temporary, you know, hey, we're going to take these away from you. You get them back once you're squared away. And part of the theory was really that if you can show that you can pass bipartisan gun safety legislation, and the NRA doesn't go crazy and start primarying Republicans and swing district Democrats don't lose their seats, you can demonstrate that the politics on this issue have changed. And I'm here to tell you that they are. They're still changing. They're changing every day. We've got to do more. We proved the theory, okay? You can pass gun safety reform in this country, and it doesn't mean that the government's coming to take your guns away. It's just not what it means.
No, and never has.
Never has, never will. It's just not going to happen, folks. And so when we see weekends like this past weekend across Alabama, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, Lord knows I'm probably missing many of them.
Oh, gosh, there was a three-year-old in Charlotte, North Carolina, who found his father's gun and is now dead. That was also over the weekend.
I'm sure you talked last week about Waukesha North, not too far from where we're broadcasting today. A young person with a long gun, safely handled by law enforcement. Schools went into a brief lockdown. The system worked in that case the way that it should, but that doesn't mean that that should have been required. That person maybe shouldn't have had access to that firearm. And so after these rounds of this, what you often see and hear are reactions from people. I want to hear your reactions if you've got them. You can drop them in the chat if you're streaming. You can text them in. You can call in 844-967-2789. And among those who we look to at times like this are our nation's leaders. You hear a lot of thoughts and prayers. Oftentimes you hear, now is not the time for thoughts and prayers. This is too fresh, too raw.
Now is not the time for legislation.
Right.
Because it's too soon.
But the reality is this is happening with such frequency. There would never be any time for that if we just waited. President Biden over the weekend tweeting his condolences for the loss of life, his dismay that we allow this to happen in this country time and time again, whether it's at a bank or a grocery store. Or a movie theater.
Place of worship.
Or a school. Or a place of worship. They happen everywhere. They can happen anywhere. And what President Biden had to say was that he stands ready to work across the aisle in good faith on federal legislation that will save lives. Quote, it's within Congress's power to require safe storage and universal background checks and ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. This should happen without delay. Hear, hear. I agree. I could not agree anymore that Congress needs to come back and do more. Doesn't mean that there will never be another deadly shooting in America. But the dismay and the despair that people feel when they see these and hear these or live through them or live through multiples of them, like the student at Michigan State,
yes,
who survived his second school shooting because he had been in a high school where there had been a shooting. Part of that despair is compounded by a politics that doesn't ever take the challenge seriously. There are still gun show loopholes. There are still way too few restrictions on things like high capacity magazines. I'm going to throw out two other reforms that one of which I think might surprise some folks. It is not a requirement of the law to, if you as a firearm owner, if that firearm is stolen from you, you don't have to report that to law enforcement.
What?
What the hell kind of sense does that make?
What?
Yep. Now, some people do, but there is no requirement that you have to. So if you are burgled or something is stolen from you and it is a deadly weapon, I think you should be held liable if you do not alert law enforcement. I think law enforcement in every community in America would like to know if somebody stole a gun.
From your car.
From your car or from your gun safe or from your home, wherever. That's common sense. Let's do it. That's the easy one. My second idea, a little bit bigger, a little bit harder. But we got to start this conversation now so we can get it done because the politics are changing. Young people in particular are sick and tired of this. I'm 40, 41. The voters behind me who have lived this reality of school shootings, They want more regulations on guns, and they're going to get them. It's just a question of when, as they become, you know, the age of sort of the politicians and the lawmakers and the deciders, they're going to change. And when it changes, among the things that we should seriously consider, that we should have a conversation about, is if you are going to own a firearm, you will be required, you should be required, to have insurance on that firearm. Just like if you own an automobile. If you're going to drive what can be a 2,000-pound weapon around the streets, you have to have insurance. If you're going to own an AR-15 or a 9 or a hunting rifle, you should have to insure that. And that would take care of a lot of these challenges. It would, because the businesses would fix this. And that's the kind of public-private policy I think we can get behind when it comes to gun safety. This is Joe Zepacki. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. We're going to move off of the gun violence. We're going to move to healthcare, another issue near and dear to my heart. On the other side of the break, come on back.
All my babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news?
Babies. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I'm your guest host, Joe Zepacki, sitting in for Kristen today. Got my buddy Jane on the board.
So glad to have you here, Joe. Thank you so much.
Happy to do it. We are trying to hold it down, make Kristen proud, make all of you listeners more informed, more educated, and more empowered, feeling like you can make a change in the world, because I promise you, you can. What's the quote? It's never underestimate the ability of a small group of people to change the course of history.
Oh, I like that.
In fact,
that.
It's the only thing that ever has. We're not a small group. We're a big group of As Goes Wisconsin listeners and folks who engage with this program and all of the fine programs across the Civic Media Network. And there's an issue before the state, as part of the state budget, that I think you can make an impact when it comes to. I think you can impact all of it, but I think there's one that is of particular concern to people, and it's been out there for a long time. So what we're going to spend the next few minutes here doing is setting the table around Medicaid expansion. After the break, basically at the top of the noon hour, we're going to have Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on, and then we're going to have a lawmaker from North Carolina, another Sarah, State Representative Sarah Crawford, and they're going to be joining us to talk about Medicaid expansion and why this is so important and how this can get done through state budget processes. But before we do that, I want to set this up with some of the background and some of the history on this issue. So there are different ways to get insurance in this country. A lot of people have employer-sponsored coverage, not enough of them, but many of them do. Big corporations, big companies are usually able to provide some level of private insurance. Since passage of the Affordable Care Act, there's also an individual marketplace where if you are working and your employer doesn't offer health insurance, you can go into the marketplace, healthcare.gov, and find a plan that works for you. There's also Medicare, which is for those age 65 and up. Every time you get that pay stub at the end of the 2 weeks or at the end of the month, you see some Medicare money coming out. That is us paying for Medicare, which is for Americans 65 and older. And then there's Medicaid, which ensures that those who are making the lowest on the socioeconomic income scale have access to healthcare, so that children born to families, couples, individuals who aren't making even 100% of the federal poverty level, we make sure that those babies are cared for and can get access to health care. Medicaid has been around for a very long time and is very important, is vitally important, because when people are uninsured or underinsured, we end up paying for it.
Ultimately, anyway.
Because you still get sick.
Yep.
And what's called uncompensated care is then passed on to the rest of us who are able to pay for health care. So Medicaid matters. It is right now, it is Medicaid Awareness Month. And among the conversations in some states is still whether or not to accept the federal expansion of Medicaid that was enacted under the Affordable Care Act. So what does that mean?
Yeah, what is the reluctance to do this?
Well, we're going to get to that. I want to remind people that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, as it is frequently known, was passed 13 years ago last month.
Wow.
It's a teenager.
Yeah.
An unruly teenager, some might say. And so that did all kinds of things. You know, can't be discriminated against in healthcare for having a pre-existing condition. You can stay on your parents' plan until you're 26. You've got to, you know, all health plans have to have these essential minimum benefits. Everybody has to get a free well visit per year, et cetera, et cetera. It also said if the states would expand their Medicaid programs up to 138% of the federal poverty level, that the federal government would cover 90% of that cost for the first couple of years, and then it would go down to 80%. And despite that really, really good deal that would have allowed every state in the country, including Wisconsin, to cover more people and do it at a lower cost from the state coffers because of the federal match, Republicans right here in Wisconsin said, no, thank you. We're not going to do it. Nope. Oh, it's how many? $800 million in additional tax dollars coming to the state of Wisconsin that we, the taxpayers of Wisconsin, are sending to the feds anyways? No, thanks. We're not interested. Time and time again, they have refused. They have said no. In the meantime, all this while, for over a dozen years, while Wisconsin Republicans have been saying no, 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 other states around the country have been saying, yes, this is a good deal. This makes sense. Cover more people. It costs less. That's a good deal. And so we found ourselves, as of about a month ago, 39 states across the country had adopted that federal expansion of Medicaid. Red states, blue states, purple states. I feel like I should be making a Dr. Seuss rhyme out of this. 39 states across the country. Missouri, Oklahoma, California, you name it. But not Wisconsin. No, no, no. Can't do it, say Wisconsin Republicans. With all of that said, there are leaders like Tony Evers, governor of the great state of Wisconsin, who are still trying, still pushing for this. And so he included Medicaid expansion in his budget proposal submitted to the legislature a couple months ago. What are Wisconsin Republicans going to do this time? I don't know. I'm afraid they're going to say no, but we can't let them do that without them hearing from we the people. And the most interesting thing that happened since that budget was introduced is that a 40th state accepted the expansion of Medicaid. North Carolina, a state that is pretty Republican, their legislature overwhelmingly Republican. If there is another state in the country where the legislature is close to as gerrymandered as Wisconsin, it is North Carolina. And we know that Wisconsin Republicans pay attention to North Carolina Republicans because after the 2018 election, when Scott Walker lost, the lame duck power grab. Remember that, Jane?
Oh, I do.
The Wisconsin Republicans, they took that from the North Carolina Republicans playbook. And within the last couple of weeks, North Carolina, with a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature, has found agreement to expand Medicaid. How did they get that done? Why did they do it now? I don't know all those answers, but it gives me hope. And so in the next hour, we're going to talk to Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We're going to hear from a North Carolina state lawmaker about how they got it done. And hopefully it's going to fill us with pride and energy so we can engage and get this across the finish line, because that's what I know you expect on the Civic Media Network here on As Goes Wisconsin with Jane and Joe on a Monday morning. I hope you'll stick with us into the afternoon. Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, pretty new to the job. She's been on the job 3.5 months. She is a nurse, so she's got some perspectives on this. She was also in the state legislature. Cannot wait to hear from her about why this has to happen, why now is the moment. Thanks for riding with us this first hour. Come on back for the second hour. Learn more. Hear from the Sarahs about Medicaid expansion. Come on back. Tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news. Good news. Ain't that good news? Ain't that good news?
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.